Everyone, this is the Wednesday afternoon session, June 12, 2019, meeting of the Portland City Council. Carla, please call the roll.
Fish?
Here.
Hardesty?
Here.
Udaly?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here. Before we get into the particulars, we'll hear from legal counsel on the rules of order and decorum. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Portland City Council. The City Council represents all Portlanders and meets the city's business. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during City Council meetings so everyone can feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. If it does not, you may be ruled out of order. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When you have 30 seconds left, a yellow light goes on, and when your time is done, a red light goes on. If you're in the audience and would like to show your support for something that is said, please feel free to do a thumbs up. If you want to express that you do not support something, please feel free to do a thumbs down. Please remain seated in council chambers unless entering or exiting. If you are filming the proceeding, please do not use bright lights or disrupt the meeting. Disruptive conduct, such as shouting or interrupting testimony or council deliberations, will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest for trespass. Thank you for helping your fellow Portlanders feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe.
All right, good. Just a couple of housekeeping items. So, colleagues, we're going to go through the formal conclusion of the budget process. Then we'll take a 10-minute break so that they can reconfigure the room for this afternoon's work session, if that comports with everyone. So, Carla, could you please read items 568 through items 570 through item 574?
568, conduct a proposed use hearing on state shared revenue. 569, certify that certain services are provided by the city to establish eligibility for state shared revenues. 570, approve accepting funds from the state of Oregon under the state revenue sharing program for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2019 and ending June 30, 2020. 571, update fund statements of purpose for various city funds. 572, create the fire capital fund. 573, adopt the annual budget of the city and establish appropriations for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2019 and ending June 30, 2020. And 574, approve levying taxes for the city for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2019 and ending June 30, 2020.
Very good. And colleagues, this looks more daunting than it will actually prove to be. Colleagues, today we take the final series of steps necessary and the necessary votes as part of the adoption of the fiscal year 19-20 budget as prescribed by Oregon state law. Specifically, the council will hold a hearing on the proposed uses of state revenue sharing, then pass a series of legally required ordinances that create and amend city funds, adopt the city's fiscal year 2019-2020 budget, and finally approve the levy of taxes. Now I'll turn this over to Director Kennard, who will give us an overview of the council action needed today. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Mayor, and good afternoon, Mayor and Council. So as Carla called, there are actually seven unique items that you will consider in relation to adopting the city's budget. I'll provide a brief description at the beginning of each item to make sure each distinct nature is clear. The first three items are required by local budget law and are related to the city's use of state shared revenues. So first, as the mayor mentioned, you will hold a hearing on proposed uses of state shared revenue. Second, you will vote on a resolution that determines the city is eligible to receive state revenues. And third, you will vote on an ordinance to accept state revenues. So reminder, this ordinance to accept state revenues was filed as an emergency ordinance, so the city can receive these state revenues beginning July 1st. Mayor, you may now open the hearing.
This hearing is being held by the City Council of Portland, Oregon, in compliance with the provisions of the State Revenue Sharing Regulations. ORS 221.770. It is to allow citizens to comment on the proposed use of these funds in conjunction with the annual budget process. As proposed for council adoption, the fiscal year 2019-2020 budget anticipates receipts totaling $22,466,522 from state revenue sharing under ORS 221.770. As has been the case in prior years, it's proposed that this revenue be allocated in equal parts to support the fire prevention and police patrol services of the city. Is there anyone here today who wishes to be heard on this subject?
No one signed up.
Very good. And there's nobody signed up. I'm now closing the hearing to discuss proposed uses of state revenue sharing. So that gets us to item number 569. Is that correct?
That's right.
Very good. Okay, and this is certifying that certain services are provided by the city to establish eligibility for state shared revenues. We'll now consider and vote on a resolution to certify that the city meets eligibility requirements for state shared revenue. Again, I'll turn it over to Director Kennard.
Right, so the background on this is the state requires that large cities provide certain services in order to receive these state revenues. By passing this resolution, council determines that the city does provide the required services and directs the budget office to provide the Department of Administrative Services with a copy of the resolution so that we may receive the revenues. Mayor, you may now call vote on this resolution.
Very good. Well, first of all, we have to ask for any public testimony, but it's my understanding that hasn't changed in the last 30 seconds.
I didn't have a specific one for that one. But.
Oh. Does anybody want to testify on this? I don't see anybody. Call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. I had one simple thing that I had to do today. Item 570, approving and accepting funds from the state of Oregon under the state revenue sharing program for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2019, and ending June 30th, 2020. We'll now consider and vote on this ordinance to accept state shared revenue. Director Kennard.
So this is now council's election to officially receive those state revenues, and this is done via an emergency ordinance.
Very good. Any public testimony on this item? Anybody signed up? Anybody want to be signed up? Seeing none, call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Yes, please. We would like the state's money. Aye.
Wheeler.
She said it best. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Now we're going to consider and vote on ordinances 571 and 572 combined to create funds and update the fund statement of purpose for various funds. The City Comprehensive Financial Management Policy 2.04 states that each fund shall have a statement of purpose. This ordinance updates those statements for various funds. Director Kennard.
Yes, yeah, so as the mayor stated, the fund statement of purpose is retained as part of the Portland policy documents and provides clarification on what fund resources should be spent on, who manages the fund, and if there are any reserve requirements. These statements were developed several years ago following a recommendation from the auditor's office, and this requirement is now codified in city financial policy. These changes that you are considering include updates to reflect accurate bureau management of certain funds following several organizational changes for the Portland's Children's Levy, Local Improvement District Fund, Bancroft Bond Interest and Sinking Fund, Assessment Collection Fund, and the Recreational Cannabis Fund. Attachment F in the file documents include details on this on these changes.
Director Kennard, tell us more about the Fire Capital Fund.
Yes. So the second item that you will vote on is to create a new fire capital fund. So the City Budget Office and Portland Fire and Rescue worked to create this fund in order to improve Portland Fire and Rescue's ability to plan, finance, and set aside funds for the repair, replacement, and renewal of assets. There is no money currently budgeted in this fund, but the thinking is that we're setting it aside to help the Bureau start to plan and have a place to reserve funds for future capital asset and major maintenance needs.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Jessica. So the money that we had originally set aside to replace the breathing apparatus would have gone into this fund had this fund existed at that time. Is that correct?
So the way that the funds were allocated is that they are going to be going first towards whatever is needed to purchase the equipment. And the thinking is that the remainder, if there is any left over, would be put into this fund.
Which was the original plan before
Correct.
The board voted to take that money back. Okay, thank you. I got it.
All right, very good. Any public testimony on either items 571 or 572? Is there anyone present who'd like to be heard on these items? If not, call the roll on 571.
Fish.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. Call the roll on 572, please.
Fish.
I just want to note that Commissioner Hardesty has been on this council for less than 6 months, and she's already established a fire capital fund. Which would be the envy of a number of the general fund bureaus. So I was going to offer a friendly amendment, but I realized the tide was against me. Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. Thank you, Director Kennard, for your work on that. 573 is adopting the annual budget of the city and establish appropriations for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2019 and ending June 30th, 2020. Colleagues will now consider an ordinance to adopt the fiscal year 2019-2020 budget. This is the first reading with a final vote to be heard next week. Director Kennard.
So in a moment, we will discuss the changes to the adopted budget as filed as compared to the approved budget, which you all voted upon a few weeks ago. Any further amendments to the budget must be moved and seconded, open for discussion, and then voted upon. As part of the adopted budget ordinance, you have several items before you. You have the appropriation schedule by fund, which is attachment E. You have final budget notes, which is attachment D. You have a list of changes by fund from approved to adopted budget, which is attachment C, and a detailed list of adjustments by bureau between the approved and adopted budgets, which is attachment B. So I will briefly walk through the high points of these adjustments, which are detailed in attachment B. A number of them are technical, and so I'm going to sort of breeze over those quickly, but feel free to interrupt with questions if you have any. So the first change is in the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. They're reducing the requested FTE by 0.5 FTE for the Portland Dark Skies project. They've realized that the work is a little more technical in nature, and it will better serve the purpose of that package to move those dollars into materials and part of those dollars into materials and services. There are a number of small changes in the general reserve, in funds and debt management, and these are primarily associated with changes that were already approved by council during the spring bump. So the first two items that you see, there's a $2 million deposit, and this is related to a carryover request that was approved in the spring bump for region replacement. This is just reflecting the rebudgeting of those dollars into the next year's budget. Similarly, the next item is $500,000 that council approved for parks encumbrances as part of the spring bump. This is just reflecting the other side of the transaction, which is rebudgeting those dollars. Thirdly, there are a couple of instances where bureaus realized that they actually carried over too much resource as part of the spring bump, so they're asking for some of those resources back. So in the Office of Community Technology, or Office for Community Technology, there's $55,000 that's being rebudgeted in the current year budget, and $50,000 that's being rebudgeted in the Housing Bureau's budget. Again, just taking from 1 year's budget and putting it back in the next, and you'll see this in the over expenditure ordinance next week. So the next line is Office for Community Technology. You see that $55,000 reduction. Again, that's just taking the money that was put into next year's budget, and they said they need it earlier, so it's putting it into this year's budget. Office of Management and Finance, this is a technical true-up. It was a position that they have funding for that was meant to be put in the budget, but was not, and so we're cleaning that up. The Bureau of Transportation, there are a number of changes that are predominantly technical and net zero in nature. A couple of changes that I will highlight for Council. There are a handful of positions that the Bureau is adding to make sure that they are in compliance with the Creek settlement for the ADA curb ramps, and they are taking money from contingency in order to fund those positions. And those positions, the cost of those positions, will be built into their internal budget in the out years. And then secondly, they're reducing contingency to fund an interagency agreement with Portland Parks and Recreation for $50,000 to contribute to the maintenance of the transit mall planters. In the Office of Community and Civic Life, they are transferring $210,000 in one-time resources, and this is part of a program carryover in the cannabis tax fund to Prosper Portland for small business development grants. This was part of an agreement between those bureaus and part of the RFP process that has already been completed. And then in the Portland Housing Bureau, again, they are rebudgeting money, $50,000 for contract funds that they do now anticipate to get out in the current year rather than in next year. A couple of technical true-ups in their grants fund and their home grants fund, adjusting their risk mitigation pool in their housing investment fund, and then another carryover cleanup in their tax increment financing reimbursement fund. Portland Parks and Recreation, a technical true-up in their golf fund and the way that they budget the different golf programs that nets to zero. And then in the general fund, again, this is the reflection of that $50,000 contribution coming from PBOT to help fund the transit mall planters. This is adding back one position that otherwise was on slated to be laid off. Portland Police Bureau, the Bureau is reestablishing three positions that coordinate the strength programs at the direction of the commissioner in charge, and this is being funded through reallocation of internal resources.
May I just interject? Hooray. Thank you very much. And thank you to Mayor Wheeler for that. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for giving me good advice on that. I agree with it. Smart move.
Within the Water Bureau, a technical adjustment, correcting a data entry typo. And then finally, in Prosperous Portland, we see the other side of that transaction where they are receiving that $210,000 in cannabis tax resources for grants from the Office of Community and Civic Life. So those are the high-level changes in the budget. There was also a small change to a budget note regarding the funding plan for the integrated tax system. This change does not have a fiscal impact, but it does provide more specificity around which payees, with which different funds are expected to contribute to the new integrated tax system under a cost recovery scenario. So that concludes the overview of the changes from the approved to adopted that I had planned today. This is a first reading, so we are open for the next stage, whether it's a discussion.
Sure. Anybody have any questions? Is there a public testimony on this item, Carla 573? Anybody want to testify?
No one signed up.
Very good. This is Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to go back again to the Office of, I want to call it PDC, Prosperous Portland. Mm-hmm. And so you talked about a change to the allocation, and I'm not speaking of the marijuana tax funds that have already been pre-granted, but there's also, isn't there $1 million that is supposed to be granted by Prosper Portland as part of the the 1% in construction that they're supposed to have an oversight committee that is supposed to be making those decisions? Mm-hmm. Any information on that as part of this process?
The 1% set aside for construction, I believe the conversations of that group is still underway. I don't think that, I believe there's a work group that's currently, actually, I'm going to ask Katie, do you have a update?
Can you come to the mic, please? I'm sure people at home will have an interest in this.
Katie Scheifele, City Budget Office. My understanding is the conversations around that are still underway, and there's not anything actually budgeted in 1920 as far as like going out the door for that work.
I think that's kind of problematic if we are already 1 year behind in getting those grants out the door, and there's not even a process in place where we'll have a committee that will review how those dollars, I mean, they're supposed to benefit the community, right? And sitting in Prosper Portland's account isn't really going to benefit the community. Is there something that we can do to help expedite both the creation of the committee and then the granting process that we could utilize to actually get those dollars out the door?
I would note that the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services does have a new position that is meant to sort of help coordinate that function, and that position has already been recruited and has resources budgeted in 1920 to hire that position and bring it on to begin that work.
I guess my concern is that if we hire somebody in 1920, then that means that it would be at least half a year before the first dollars went out the door. And so that would mean we would then be 2 years behind in the commitment that we made to the community about supporting community efforts to expand access to those dollars around contracts, especially supporting small contractors to be able to get the resources they need to apply. So I apologize that I'm asking you this question at this time, but this question just occurred to me as we are talking about this process, and so I would accept any advice from any of my colleagues or...
Commissioner Fritz looks poised for advice.
To jump in.
Here she goes.
It's complicated.
It always is.
And partly it's complicated because the authorizing ordinance directed the Office of Management and Finance and the Office of Equity and Human Rights to work with the office, with Prosper Portland, due to personnel changes within the Office of Management and Finances. There wasn't anybody in Revenue Services who was able to do that coordination, so that's essentially why we lost a year. They're currently in the process of hiring the replacement for that person, but then the resolution that set it forward also has a process for establishing a community committee to then go ahead and help get the money out the door. So I absolutely share your frustration, and I believe there's a new intergovernmental agreement coming to council fairly soon to set out the new process. It took 10 years to get the old process. So I absolutely share your frustration, and I'm sorry that we've changed course again, and there's a new plan which is coming to council soon.
Anything that I can do to help expedite that process, I would be happy to provide assistance, because I can tell you that I hear the community's frustration around broken promises over and over and over again. And so it is a little frustrating to just think that we're just like, oh, well, you know, 2020 might be a good year where we're start getting some of that money out. So thank you very much. I appreciate the input on that. Mayor, this is a first reading, which means that this won't be voted on until next week.
Correct.
Unfortunately, I won't be here then. So if you would be kind enough to allow me to just make my comments that I would have made next week.
Sure.
So that there's a preview, because, I won't be here.
Commissioner, before you give your comment, could I ask you a follow-up question on a question you asked? In the event that things move more quickly over the course of this next fiscal year, since the funds are being allocated, in theory, if we get through the process more quickly, mm-hmm. we could begin to allocate those dollars. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
And would it have to come back to council for further approval, or could they just start doing it?
I would have to look closely at how the money is currently appropriated in Prosper Portland's budget. If they have the funding appropriated, they would not need to come back to council. If it's in a contingency account, for example, they would need council authorization to spend those funds. But we can take a look at it, and we can get enough lead time that we would be able to move relatively quickly to appropriate funds if that
Good.
Was
and,
the
and,
case.
And I appreciate with what Commissioner Fritz said about the complexity of the program, but I also don't want to lose the benevolent offer that Commissioner Artisty put on the table. If there's a way to move this forward expeditiously, I'd certainly support that.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Mayor. And, you know, I just remembered where this process started, and and so it's all coming back to me, Commissioner Fritz. What I remember is that it was put under a bureau, and I think even as a community member, I challenge why it wasn't under a commissioner to make this happen, right? Because at that time, we were going to have the director of the Office of Equity and Human Rights convene this committee, and I still believe that is a wrong approach to take, to have a bureau director actually convening the committee without having a commissioner actually being someone who's overseeing it. And
so previously the mayor, and then I was overseeing the director. So it's not saying that the director does it without conferring with his commissioner.
So I would suspect that would mean that whoever would be appointed to the committee would have to be approved by the city council?
Yes.
Okay, so there would be an open process, and that those people would come back. See, this is the part I think that we got challenged on the last time. And so I'm just concerned that the more hoops we have, the longer it takes. And if it's not a priority for a bureau, right, it could be a priority for a commissioner, but not necessarily a priority for a bureau. So if this is not a top priority, it will take a lot longer.
Can I ask a procedural question?
Commissioner Fish.
And I don't remember from prior years. Jessica, a lot of what we're doing today is an emergency, has an emergency clause on it. The adoption of the budget doesn't.
Right.
So the net effect is here we have a room full of people who've worked on the budget, who we are likely to mention in passing in final comments, mm-hmm. who are unlikely to be here
next week.
This will come up with in the ordinary course. Has that always been the way we do it, or is there a reason why we can't put an emergency clause on and just adopt the budget today? Because I it does seem strange that we'll be making comments to essentially no one.
So it's varied from year to year. I think that the primary thinking is that, so if it were to pass and if council wishes to put an emergency clause, I would ask the city attorney's office. But I believe that they could do that.
Some of my colleagues may not be ready to make statements. I have a statement I was prepared to make, but I also anticipated there'd be a lot of people in the room who, when I thank them, would be here so they could hear it rather than getting it secondhand.
Right.
Commissioner, if you would yield, you remember that the first one of Mayor Hale's, it was an emergency, and I voted against it because I didn't realize it was an emergency, went off to PSU to do a class and had to come back, and we had to reopen it. So since then, we haven't been doing them as emergencies, and I think there's some question about, I know Commissioner Hardesty had some concerns about some elements of it as to whether it would be unanimous or not. So it depends kind of on whether it's going to be unanimous or not as to whether it can be an emergency.
Okay, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Well, Mayor, what's your pleasure? Because
isn't it Commissioner Hardesty or others?
Well, for example, I have comments that I would normally make because I think this is the appropriate forum, and I'm not changing my vote. But was it your intention to, other than Commissioner Hardesty, who's not going to be here, to have those comments made next week?
Well, I don't want to spend an awful lot of time talking about process. If you'd like to make your comments today with bureau directors here, I certainly would welcome that. I certainly won't oppose it. I don't have a long speech prepared for myself, but I feel like I've talked so much about this budget, I could do it rote. And I know Commissioner Hardesty will not be here and would like to give her comments, so I certainly would extend that courtesy to any other commissioners who'd like to make a comment. I want to put one nail in the proverbial coffin here. I want to be clear, there was no testimony on 573, correct?
We asked and there was none.
Very good, thank you. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. I want to wrap up the Prosper Portland conversation before we move on, because I'm not sure that we actually resolved what the next steps would be in that process. And so I think what I heard is that there is a staffer being hired that will lead this process, right?
Yes, that will help coordinate.
That will help coordinate the process. And so, I think about a staffer being hired, it'd take about 6 months for them to get up to speed. So I'm just kind of trying to think through what would be a good recommendation for moving forward. I mean, we're in June now. It would be criminal for us not to have this committee up and operational this year. And so do you have any recommendations for me or my colleagues here about how we could move this forward in a way that actually honors the commitment that we made to the public?
I don't think that's going to happen in the near future. And
what don't you think will happen in the near future?
Well, the commitment we made to the public has changed, so that has to come back to council. The process has to be hire the person to convene the committee because there isn't anybody else to convene the committee, and there needs to be a process to get the committee going. I would be happy to go into this to get you a full briefing, and trust me, you said frustrating, fit to be tied. Not at all happy with how this has gone over the past year, but that's kind of not germane to today's votes.
Well, but yeah, it would be if we were approving a budget today, it probably would be. But I appreciate the fact that it was something that just occurred to me, and I could have definitely talked to Kimberly when she was here. But if we're going to be voted on the budget, it's important that we remember the commitments we made years before that we're not keeping as we start making new commitments, right? Okay, I will be done with that. Thank you so much. I appreciate both your input, Commissioner Fritz, and your information, Ms. Kincaid. On to the budget. As you know, I voted no on this budget when it came in front of us the first time. And if I would be here next week, I would continue to be a no vote. There's a lot of wonderfully good, positive, forward movement that has been articulated in this budget, but I still believe that a budget is a moral document that actually, when you put your money where your mouth is, it really proves that you are who you say you are. Since I've been in this body a little less than 6 months, I keep being told this is not the time for this conversation, this isn't a time for this conversation, this isn't the time for this conversation. I think we need to change the time for conversations that we have, because I think it's important that we have these kind of conversations up out close in public so that the public gets to actually see and hear and be able to weigh in on whether or not the decisions we're making are good ones. I you know, most of the time I'm pretty polite when people tell me that it's not the time for that conversation. I'm probably going to stop being polite when people cut me off and try to redirect me, because I wasn't elected to just go along to get along. I was elected to ask really hard questions. I was really elected to make sure that I was holding people accountable for the outcomes we all say we want. I was elected to ensure that voices that aren't traditionally heard in this building actually are heard. And so I'm not going to be silenced. If you tell me that there's a place for the conversation and it's a public place that we can have the conversation, then I'm open to that. But I will not allow people to tell me that I haven't picked the right time. Unless people tell me what the right time is, I will never know what the right time is. But in my view, the time is in the public eye, the time is when we're having public deliberations, and the time is before we take a vote, not after. And so I appreciate your indulgence to allow me to speak about the budget this week. I'm excited about some of the budget allocations that have been made. Can't wait to get to work on the Portland Street Response and to make that a reality. And I'm so appreciative that the mayor shares that vision about changing who first responders are in our community and how we can be more compassionate and empathetic as we engage with people who, but for economics, would not be on our streets. And if not for economics, would not be in our jails. And if not for economics, wouldn't be facing some of the huge hurdles that they're facing. And so we got a lot of work to do, and I'm looking forward to the next year. And I'm very grateful to the budget office. I am also want to take this opportunity to acknowledge Kristen Johnson, who is the most phenomenal budget analyst that I've ever met. She works in my office. She has over 10 years of City of Portland budget experience. And without her leadership, without her understanding where all the dollars are in the city's budget, I would not have sounded as smart as I did through this process. And so I want to thank you all very much, and thank you for your grace, Mayor. And I am done.
Very good. Commissioner Fish, did you want to say something today?
You know, you can't possibly expect me to follow that speech. So let me, I'm going to put my comments on a diet and just say, and just take three elements. One is to Jessica and the Council Budget Office, all the analysts we dealt with, all the briefings we got, all the information we got, and then all the folks that work as part of your extended team, thank you for doing a superb job. Without, you know, we fought hard to have an independent budget office. Commissioner Fritz and I felt very strongly about the value to both the institution and to the public perception of what we were doing. And this was not an easy budget year. The Council Budget Office stepped up. So I want to thank you very much for that. I also want to thank my colleagues. This is the mayor's third budget where he achieved what I would call a consensus in support of his budget. We had lots of conversations, lots of collaborative conversations, lots of listening and learning. For me, one of the best parts of the budget process is the time we spend with colleagues, listening to different points of view, trying to balance things, trying to reach consensus. So I thank my colleagues. And I also want to thank the bureau directors that I have the honor of working with at Parks and the Bureau of Environmental Services, as well as my team in my office headed by Sonia Schmansky and all the talented people who work in my office. There's a lot of people who work behind the scenes to make this process work. And you do a terrific job. The one sour note that I'll strike, and I'll go into this a little bit more next week, is I still think the public interface piece is a work in progress. And I really look forward to the candid debriefing of how this year went and ways in which we can improve it, because I don't think over the last 10 years we've quite landed on the right balance. And I think we can make our interaction with the public much more dynamic and valuable than what we are currently structured. I, for one, thought having a kind of a modified work session out in the community was a good idea, and I heard from a lot of parks critics that they appreciated that they knew they could be heard. They didn't have to wait to have their number called. So they had their speeches ready. They knew they were going to be heard. They had an opportunity. But I think we have a lot of pieces that we can put together. I still don't think we found the right mix. That's not a criticism of you. That we have a collective responsibility to get that right. But I look forward to the debriefing and the chance to even build on our success this year and make next year even better. So thank you very much.
Mayor.
Commissioner Udaly.
I just kind of want to piggyback on Commissioner Fish's comments. Your bureau worked closely with Office of Community and Civic Life. I know you took a lot of my suggestions to heart, and I really appreciate that. I would say parks people were heard loud and clear, and it has been my frustration for 3 years running that we don't hear about much else. And while parks is absolutely important, essential to our community, I have ongoing frustration that we're just not able to hear from community members on in a meaningful way on other issues, and that's because of the nature of parks being a general fund bureau and the funding always being at risk or somehow inadequate. I understand that. I want to hear about parks, but I want to hear about a lot of other vitally important bureaus and priorities in the city. So I want to acknowledge my part. We didn't quite get it right as far as the public process. I don't know how we solve for some of the problems that we, or the challenges that we saw, but I just appreciate your willingness to work with Civic Life and with my office.
Very good. I'll give a mini speech completely unrelated to the final speech I'll give next week, just because this has been an interesting conversation. This has actually been a great day, council-wise. I feel like we've had a lot of really interesting conversations. I'm attracted to what Commissioner Hardesty says about the budget being a moral document. But I've also learned the practical side of this, which is a budget is also a compromise document. There are things in the budget that I strongly support. There are things in the budget that I probably could have done without. But I also know that we need to get to the majority in order to be able to reach an agreement. I agree with you, Commissioner Udaly and Commissioner Fish, 100% on the public engagement piece. I am open to ideas in terms of how we actually get there, but I'll tell you, there's a massive disconnect between what I hear every single day as mayor, many, many times over the course of the day, versus what we heard public testimony on during the budget process. I will tell you, 50-1, I hear more about the homeless crisis than anything else in this community. I hear about it as often as 10 minutes ago being outside. I heard about it at the grocery store last night. I heard about it the last time I was at the gym. Our emails probably run, you know, I'm guessing, but probably 50-1. One item for every 50 emails we get on the homeless crisis or various manifestations of it. Yet weirdly enough, and I see Mark Jolin here, we heard very little about it during the budget process, and that sort of surprised me. And maybe it's because as a council we all agreed that it was a high, you know, the high priority, and it was something that was important. But it's sort of like we went through the budget process, we talked a lot about certain things, and then the channel got switched, and right now I'm back to issues 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 through 10 being the homeless crisis, full stop. And so that is interesting to me, just why is there that disparate attention? And you know what Commissioner Fish just said, I think it was Commissioner Fish just mentioned that Parks is a general fund bureau. Well, so too, it was Commissioner Daly. I apologize, Commissioner Daly. All of our homeless response is general fund. whether you're talking about the joint office or a public safety component or a livability component, is 100% general fund as well. And yet we really didn't hear about it. So in that sense, I feel like the public wasn't really heard on the issue that I believe, based on the rest of the anecdotal evidence I collect over the years, actually their top priority. So that's just sort of a weird and interesting thought. Anything else on this before we move it to second? This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance, moves to second reading. Last item, item number 574. This is approving the levying taxes for the city for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2019 and ending June 30th, 2020. We'll now consider a vote on the ordinance to levy taxes for the city of Portland for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2019 and direct the city budget directors to submit said tax levy and other considerations and certifications to the county assessors of Multnomah, Clackamas, and Washington counties. Director Kennard.
So this final step in today's adopted budget hearing is to vote on property taxes for the general fund, the children's investment fund, and the fire and police disability and retirement fund, in addition to property tax levies for property for general obligation bonded debt in 16 urban renewal areas. The ordinance will raise an estimated $452 million net of compression, delinquency, and discounts in city property taxes for fiscal year 2019-20, in addition to urban renewal collections. Mayor,
any thoughts? Any public testimony on this item?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Anybody want to testify on taxes? Going once, going twice, gone. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you to the taxpayers of Portland for your tax money, which we endeavor to spend wisely. Aye.
Wheeler.
I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. And I assume we will adjourn prior to the work session.
We need 10 minutes, please, to recess up for a work session.
Is it a recess or an adjournment?
We've actually a work session, so we're finished with our there's no notice on our agenda for the work session.
That's the free lawyer. Now it's the paid lawyer saying.
Ouch. I was going to say the same thing, that I believe Commissioner Fish is correct.
Commissioner Fish is officially hired based on the lowest bid.
You get what you pay
we
for.
We are adjourned. So we'll wait about